morning I'm reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 20, entitled The Conversation Between Maitreya and Vidura. Text 26-28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Savadharyasya Karpanyam Vivektadhyatma Darshana Vimonchatma Tanum Koram Ityukto Vimomo Chetha Saha. The Supreme Lord Hari Avadharya, perceiving Asya of Lord Brahma, Kapanyam, the distress, Vivikta, without a doubt, Hadyatma, minds of others, Darshanaha, one who can see, Vimuncha, cast off, Atmatanum, your body, Goram, impure, Itiyuktaha, thus commanded, Vimumocha, ha. Brahma threw it off. Translation: the Lord, who can distinctly see the minds of others, perceived Brahma's distress and said to him, cast off this impure body of yours. Thus commanded by the Lord, Brahma cast off his body. Please repeat. The Lord, who can distinctly see the minds of others, perceived Brahma's distress and said to him, cast off this impure body of yours. Thus commanded by the Lord, Brahma cast off his body. This 26 and 7 before this. Brahma has created the demons. Text 26. Lord Brahma, approaching the Lord, addressed him thus, my Lord, protect me from these sinful demons who were created by me under your order. They are infuriated by an appetite for sex and have come to attack me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It appears here that the homosexual appetite for males for each other is created in this episode of the creation of the demons by Brahma. In other words, the homosexual appetite of a man for another man is demoniac and is not for any sane man in the ordinary course of life. Text 27. My Lord, you are the only one capable of ending the affliction of the distress and inflicting agony on those who never resort to your feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word klesha dasti samasanana param tava indicate that the Lord has two concerns. The first is to give protection to persons who take shelter of his lotus feet, and the second is to give trouble to those who are always demoniac and who are inimical towards the Lord. Maya's function is to give affliction to the non-devotees. Here, Brahma said, you are the protector of the surrendered souls. Therefore, I surrender unto your lotus feet. Please give me protection from these demons. And 28 again. The Lord, who can distinctly see the minds of others, perceived Brahma's distress and said to him, cast off this impure body of yours. Thus commanded by the Lord, Brahma cast off his body. Purport. The Lord is described here by the word vivikyatyatma darshinaha. If anyone can completely perceive another's distress without doubt, it is the Lord himself. If someone is in distress and wants to get relief from his friend, sometimes it so happens that his friend does not appreciate the volume of distress he is suffering. But for the Supreme Lord, it is not difficult. The Supreme Lord as Paramatma is sitting within the heart of every living entity, and he directly perceives the exact causes of distress. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Savasya Chaham Hridi Sanvistaha. I am sitting in everyone's heart, and because of me, remembrance and forgetfulness occur. Thus, whenever one fully surrenders unto the Supreme Lord, one finds that he is sitting within one's heart and can give us direction how to get out of dangers or how to approach him in devotional service. The Lord, however, asked Brahma to give up his present body because it had created the demoniac principle. According to Sridhar Swami, Brahma's constant dropping of the body does not refer to his actually giving up his body. Rather, he suggests that Brahma gave up a particular mentality. Mind is a subtle body of the living entity. We may sometimes be absorbed in some thought which is sinful, but if we give up the sinful thought, it may be said that we give up the body. Brahma's mind was not in correct order when he created the demons. It must have been full of passion, because the entire creation it was passionate. Therefore, such passionate sons were born. It follows that any father and mother should also be careful while begetting children. The mental condition of a child depends on the mental status of his parents at the time he is conceived. According to the Vedic system, therefore, the Garbhadhana Samskara, or the ceremony for giving birth to a child, is observed. Before begetting a child, one has to sanctify his perplexed mind. When the parents engage their mind in the lotus feet of the Lord, and in such a state the child is born, naturally good devotee children come. When the society is full of such good population, there is no trouble from demoniac mentalities. End of purport. Omagyanan tananda shayagyanan sarakaya chakshulamitamna tashmai svigirave namaha. Nama om vishnu padaya krishna paristaya bhutare simhati bhakti vedanta swamanitya namane. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vacharine Nevisheshu Sandhavari Pasarasthane Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shirvaita Garadha Shivasari Gauravakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Today is the first day of Kartik month, that of the Ras. In Vrindavan they observe the Ras on this Purnima, in Navadvip they observe it next Purnima, Krishna's Ras Leela. It's also the disappearance of Mari Gupta, so we'll try and say something about Mari Gupta. We have time. So here, this Lord Brahma is beginning his job of creation, and he's created these demons. He's created the demons, the Rakshasas, and they're approaching Brahma in a mood of enjoying his body. So he's really surprised. He's laughing. He doesn't think they're serious, but when he understands they're serious, then he has to run and run to the Lord. He has no other shelter. He's the firstborn. So the demons, they're, as we see, these entities are created from different parts of Lord Brahma's body. The demons are created from his buttocks. And Srila Sanatana Goswami says that the anus is the only sense, in sense, that can't be engaged in devotional service. All the other working different senses, they can be engaged in the service of Krishna, somehow or other, but the anus cannot. So this is where the demons appeared from. And They're very lusty. So Prabhupada said this homosex thing, he said it's just excessive lust in a man that brings out. It's so lusty that they don't discriminate. They just so that's the Srila Prabhupada said this is demoniac, not for any sane man in the ordinary course of life. Wouldn't be very popular nowadays in the West, is because homosexuality has become a fad or what, something or other. But anyway, it's quite openly accepted, quite openly discussed, and even some religious denominations, they actually married two men, according to the. Just how Kali Yuga is catching up, that they think this is okay. Otherwise, if they don't, then all these people that have these strange consciousnesses in Kali Yuga, they want to facilitate. So if they want to keep their congregation, then they have to start to make adjustments to keep them in, otherwise they'll lose them. So like this, they gradually weaken, they gradually give up their standards. This is how Kali Yuga works. They gradually give up the standards. And then what is unheard of today or bizarre today is in one generation, it's normal. Right? Your kids are born to parents who are, or anything, who practice anything nowadays. So it's just normal. They're growing up in that situation, so they think that's normal. Your parents are bisexual, homosexual, or whatever it is. It's just, it's fashion, it's open, it's accepted, and this is what you're born into. So what is your outlook on life? You're completely accepted as a normal thing. So this is how it happens. The morality just becomes more and more degraded. So then the religion becomes more and more divorced, because religion means imposing restrictions on your freedom. So then there will gradually be, as Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, religion will be taken as irreligion, and irreligion will be taken as religion. So if you propagate there's no gays, no this and no that, then you're get back to the ark kind of thing. This is, you've got to move with the times, and this is how it is, and you've got to have something that applies nowadays. So that's, we have to kick that out. We'll have to adjust the religion to suit the population. Otherwise, what's the use having a religion that no one follows? So this is the idea. Then they'll create new they'll create a new religious their own religious principles. But obviously that you can't do that. Religious principles are created by God. It's His creation. He knows how best to act in it. So He's given those laws. You can't make your own laws and expect to be peaceful and happy and at the end of life be delivered. Not possible. We're not going to figure it out ourselves. And as you see, the as a result of this, the people are becoming more and more frustrated. People are less happy, probably, than they were, less satisfied than they were in the last generation. Even though there's lots more amenities, lots more facilities, we can't say that our happiness is more than what our grandfathers or our great-grandfathers experienced. We can't say that. So, as a Kali Yuga progresses and the mode of ignorance becomes more influential, then the consciousness becomes more and more gross. And that, so you take pleasure in more and more gross things. You don't take pleasure in the subtle things, which is a much finer pleasure. Right? The emotional pleasure is much better than gross physical pleasure. And the intellectual pleasure is greater than the sensual pleasure. The spiritual pleasure is greater than all of them. But you can't appreciate it unless you're in the mode of goodness or transcendental. You can't appreciate what's what the mind is attracted to in the mode of passion or ignorance is these other things. You've got to, you know, so as you're influenced by the modes of nature, then obviously you're going to be attracted to what suits you. Persons in the mode of ignorance, they're going to be attracted to those kind of things, which Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, the different types of food, the different ways of behavior, the different different ways of worship, or they make their own work, or their different, you know, way they do things, way they conduct their lives, giving charity, performance, or whatever they do. According to the mode, they have a different style. So anyway, the demons are always there. It's not a new thing. They're created right in the beginning of the creation. So then so the Lord Brahma's approach the Lord, and the Lord, seeing the within the heart, says, "Give up this body." It's very esoteric because his body, the bodies that Brahma is casting off, they take the form of, what was it, darkness. This one will take the form of the evening twilight, which kindles passion, and the demoniacs experience that as a beautiful woman, and they chase after that. They leave Brahma alone and chase after that, something better. So here Srila Prabhupada says that Sridhar Swami his comments that this giving up the body does not refer to his actually giving up his body, his gross body. Rather, he gives up his subtle mentality. He gives up that impressions in the mind. His mind is the subtle body of the living entity, right? It's mind, intelligence, and ahankara, they're the subtle body. So this is what, not that you give up the mind, you can't lose them, you can't just give away the mind, obviously. The mind is always there. The mind is a fact as the part of the living entity, the mind, intelligence, the identity, they're part of the material body is temporary situation, but the mind and the body are the mind and the intelligence and the identity are real. But now we're identifying with that, now that consciousness is polluted, and we're identifying with these temporary gross elements as the all in all, practically speaking. This is called Maya. But in the spiritual world, we have a spiritual form, and there are spiritual desires. You can't be desireless. The Prabhupada said you can't cast off these. The impure thoughts were there, then you should cast them off, give them up. But it's not that you can cast off something from your mind and then your mind is, you know, empty and pure. It doesn't look like that. The mind is constantly active because the living entity is a person, and by nature he's constantly, the constant desire is there. That's how we're created. You can't be without desire because we're created for the Lord's pleasure. The living entity is created for his pleasure, and the Lord, what does he take pleasure in? He takes pleasure in exchanges, and exchanges means activity, so it means desire, and the more the activity, the more the diverse the activities are, then the greater amount of pleasure, right? Their experience, the more more variety is there, and the more you can enjoy. So that's why the Lord expands for his pleasure, and so then the living entity is, that's a natural function of the living entity, is to engage in giving the Lord pleasure. And we have the independence to choose how to give the Lord pleasure, what kind of pleasure we want the Lord to have, and we're also part of that. We also experience that, obviously. And so there's so many different types of mentalities. And Krishna's roughly in the very essential state, he's graded them into four. Those, you know, in Madhurya Vatsala, Shakya and Dasya. And then there's a neutral state, of course. But it basically is divided them into them. But within those, there's different. They all have. Everyone is slightly different mentality, right? There's those ones that are able to give Krishna the greatest pleasure. Then they're the ones who are always closest to Krishna. He keeps those closer, his intimate friends. They're the ones that are able to give most love in exchange to Krishna. So we can't be without that desire. Or so you must desire something. So then you have to replace these bad thoughts with good thoughts. Replace that. That's a process. Even the materialists say that. Progressive ones. Get rid of these bad thoughts. And replace them with good. So we have the same thing. We accept what's favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject what's unfavorable. The business is more or less accepting and rejecting. The mind's business is I like this, I don't like that. But we're bewildered, so we don't know what is actually good for us. So therefore the intelligence is above the mind. It can discriminate. The mind really doesn't discriminate. Only what I like and what I don't like. That's the main business of the mind. What you get pleasure from, what you don't get pleasure from. But the intelligence is above the mind, so that can make the discrimination. What is actually good for you in the long run? It may be better right now. It may feel good right now, but in the future, what will be the result? So the intelligence has that a broader vision. So therefore, one should follow the intelligence. This is recommended. You follow the intelligence because even intelligence becomes bewildered. But Krishna says he's in the heart. From him come remembrance, knowledge, intelligence, forgetfulness, etc. So Krishna's supplying that according to our adhikar, according to our karma, according to whatever. He's arranging that we get what we deserve and what we need for rectification or for approaching the Lord in a more dynamic or more closer, intimate way. So he's giving all that according to our desire. It's all based on our desire. The Lord is reciprocating. He's completely neutral. He's favorable towards his devotees. He's disinterested in the demons. So according to your devotion, and so the Krishna puts the ball in our court, and you have to make the approach towards him. You have to show you. Then he's ready, willing, and really wants to reciprocate. It's very difficult for him to hold back and just snatch us from this material world and take us back and embrace us. And it's difficult for him, but he's not going to interfere with your independence if you want this. So Prabhupada said, Krishna loves us more than we know it, more than we actually can love him. So he's always, but he set the rules. Okay, you want to be independent, so go and see what it's like to be independent without me, to try to be the controller and the enjoyer. Go and see what it's like. When you learn your lesson, it's here for your lesson. It's for your rectification. So it doesn't happen again, and you won't have to leave again. So I'm giving you a nice test in the material world, and I'm not going to interfere. But it's breaking my heart, actually, to see you in this material world suffering like this. So intelligence also gets bewildered. We're suffering from the imperfect senses. So the real intelligence means what is coming from hearing Shruti, what we're hearing, what we're reading. We don't know anything about spiritual life except what we've heard. We may have some realizations to some degree, but this knowledge is so vast. But it's all, we just heard it. That's all it is. We have faith in this knowledge, but all we've heard it. Most of this is not realized knowledge that we have. We're accepting it with faith, and we practice it. So that's your actual safe position. That's the liberated position, actually. That you're accepting simply on faith, the words of Krishna, the words of the sages, the words of the acharyas, the words of the devotees. We're accepting on faith, and we're following that. We're applying our intelligence. Let's follow, what do they say in this situation? We discriminate. The mind says, yeah, great, go for it. And the intelligence says, wait a minute, what is the best thing to do? What does the scripture say? What does Krishna say? Is it favorable for Krishna consciousness? Is it favorable? Then if it is, great. You can enjoy it in devotional service. If not, you have to say no. So that's what's going on. And so that what it means to to cast off this impure body, it means to replace it. You see, you have to discriminate. You have to be intelligent. Krishna consciousness is Buddhi yoga. It's the yoga of intelligence. You have to apply intelligence. It's a constant application of intelligence. Intelligence. What is the next intelligent step? What is the next intelligent thing to do? That is coming from our instructions from the devotees and from Guru Krishna. They will only do what they say. So what do they say in this situation? What do they say in the next situation? What do they say in the next situation? So therefore we're learning these. We're hearing these descriptions. We're hearing these instructions. We're studying them morning and evening. And so we know what to do. So we know how to be. We know what to think about. We know how to eat. We know how to talk, walk, sit and sleep and all those things. We're learning. That's what we're learning. It's a spiritual knowledge. And so then we're always protected. And Krishna is the only shelter, the ultimate shelter. Otherwise there's no shelter, there's no protection in the material world. So Brahma, he's the greatest person. He's creating everyone. So he's actually the creator in the world. He's a prime living entity. But he has to run to Krishna. He's been, by his own creation, he's got into trouble. It's the same thing. When we forget Krishna, we create some maya and then it comes back on us. According to the mode of goodness, passion or ignorance, it comes back more and more ferocious. And then we have to deal with it. So this is maya. And then to deal with it, you make a whole new set of problems to deal with. So Lord Brahma, he's on top, but he's going to Krishna. So it behoves us to do that, to give up these, to only accept what is favorable for Krishna consciousness. So, and that, Srila Prabhupada says, even at the time of conception here, that one should follow this garb of samskara, that one should remember Krishna at the time of conception, then we remember, the husband and wife are remembering Krishna, and the consciousness is pure at that time. Then you're going to attract a good soul in that body. And then you can give that, you got a good soul, then you can, it's easy to give that child, to take him through life and, you know, get him back to Godhead. But if that consciousness is not pure, you're going to be having a lot more difficult time with your child, you know, because it'll be, you don't know who you're going to bring in. But if the consciousness is pure, you're going to make your life a lot easier. And he goes back, you go back also. So there's everything to gain. It's late already. So, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. If anyone wants to disappearance there, Mari Gupta, if anyone would like to stay. Mari Gupta was a very wonderful devotee, very intimate devotee of Lord Chaitanya, incarnation of Hanuman. Very, very dear to Lord Chaitanya. He was a doctor. Some say he was an Ayurvedic doctor, Vaidya. It is said he also went to the same school as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although some say he was much elder than Lord Chaitanya. There's one story how he came to Navadvip, where he was walking in Navadvip with his friends, and he was discussing the yoga Vasishta philosophy. He's a Brahmin, and that was a scene at the time in Navadvip. They're all scholars and students. So they're discussing the philosophy of yoga, I mean philosophy of Shankar. Then Mahaprabhu is behind, and his friends, and he's imitating, because he actually came from Shilet in Bangladesh, and they have this kind of special accent there. So Mahaprabhu was walking behind him, and as Mari Gupta was speaking like that, so Mahaprabhu was walking behind him, and he was doing all the gestures and walking like him and saying and copying his accent. So he became very disturbed. Who is that boy? He said, oh, that's that Nimai. He said, everyone is saying he's a very good boy. He's coming from he's a son of Jagannath Mishra, a very respected brahmana here. But I see that he's not such a good boy after all. So then Nimai said, that's okay. He said, you go home now. I'll give you a surprise later. So he forgot about it. He's home. He's taking his lunch. Nimai shows up at the walks in his room, dressed in beautiful and fancy dress, dhoti and garland and sandalwood and golden ornaments, and his hair all tied up with a pearl and pearls, and and he walks in, "Mari, Mari," you know. So, "Who's that?" He said, "Oh, it's me, Nimai. So come to see." Anyway, finish your meal, take your meal peacefully, and I'll. Mari's taking his meal, and Mahaprabhu starts to urinate on his on his lunch. "What's going on? You're supposed to be the son of a Brahmin. What's going on here?" But then Nimai ran away, but Mari got this, all his hairs were standing on him. He's feeling so ecstatic. He said, "No, he's not an ordinary boy." And he tried to get up, and he kept falling over, and he was so ecstatic. Just said, "Who is this boy?" So then he went down to Nimai's house, and Nimai was there with his mother, father, and they were sitting together, and they were both trying to sit Nimai on their lap at once. They had so much affection for him, because when Mari came in, then Nimai immediately jumped on his mother's lap and pretended he didn't know what was happening. They said, "Oh, Mari," and they welcomed him and sat him down. Why have you come? He said, he couldn't speak. He was so choked with love, seeing Lord Chaitanya, looking at Nimai. He said, "Your son is the Supreme Personality of God. Take good care of him. Take good care of him. Look after him nicely." Another time he appeared as Varahadev. We've heard this story a few times because the last chapter. But he ran into Murari's house in the roaring, shouting, "Bora, Bora, Bora," and rushed straight past Murari. Murari's looking around, "I don't see any boras." And he went in into his house, and there was a nice golden copper pot, Kailash. So then he assumed the form of Rahadev, and he picked up the pot and put it on his snout and lifted up. Then Murari came in, "Whoa!" All his hairs are standing on end, and he was like really scared. "What's going on?" And he said, "Murari," he said, "it's me. Don't you know who I am?" He said, "I'm the Supreme Lord." So now you offer me prayers. Offer me some prayers. And think about the whole family also. Bring your relatives and worship me. So like he was may have been the first or second person that Lord Chaitanya actually revealed his divinity to. Another time, Murari wanted to take he was contemplating committing suicide. There's so much love for Lord Chaitanya, and he thought, if Lord Chaitanya leaves, then it'd be unbearable. I won't be able to tolerate that. You know, the Lord appears, he performs his pastimes, he always does this in all of his incarnations. I just don't want to be around when he leaves. It's just, I won't be able to tolerate. So best if I finish off this body. So then he bought a very sharp knife. They cut the conch shells, carve the conch shells and make bracelets, things. So they thought he'll finish himself off at night. And Mahaprabhu, being the super soul, knew that. So he immediately came. And he came there, and Mari was so happy to see him. And sat him down, and Gauranga began to talk many pastimes of Krishna. And then he said, "Mari, bring that knife that you've got." He said, "Don't think like, why?" He said, "How can I perform my pastimes if you're not here? You're one of my chief assistants." He said, "You don't think like that. Never think like that again. You're giving me great pain to so you bring that knife to me." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Who's been telling you lies?" He said, "Mari." He said, "Look, I know who made that knife. I know where you bought that knife. I know where the knife is in your house. Now you bring it to me. You know who I am." So then Mahaprabhu actually went and got it. Told him, "Never, don't think like this." and embraced Murray and with great love and affection. And so Murray gave up that idea. In the house of Srivas Thakur, when Mahaprabhu was performing the Sat Bhara Paraya? After 21 hours, he was showing his form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was showing that form, and he called, "Hey, monkey!" He was Murugupta. "Hey, look at me! What do you see?" And he saw Mahaprabhu transformed into Ramchandra, beautiful green color. He saw Lakshman and Hanuman there. He saw the hordes of monkeys. Then he thought he recognized himself as one of the monkeys. They fainted away. And Mahaprabhu said he glorified Murugupta's staunch devotion to Ramchandra, because one time he tested him. He was talking about the super excellence of Krishna, how Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead above all of the other incarnations. So he said, he told Murari, "You should worship Krishna exclusively." So then Murari started to worship Krishna, but he just couldn't get Lord Ramchandra off his mind. Because he's just the Deva's Ramchandra. So he's trying to worship Krishna, and then all he sees is Ramchandra, and he just couldn't do it. So then the whole night he's staying awake, he doesn't know what to do. So the next morning he went to see Lord Chaitanya and fell at his feet and held his feet crying and said, "Mahaprabhu, please let me end my life." He said, I can neither reject your instruction and neither can I follow it. He said, I cannot exist anymore. I can't follow your instruction and I can't reject your instruction. And Mahaprabhu told him, I'm just testing your devotion. He said, "You're the greatest devotee." Then he wrote Tila Ramdas on his head. And he said when he was leaving to take sannyas, he also told Murugupta that, because he was all broken hearted that Mahaprabhu was leaving, he said that, "You can worship me different." He said, "You worship Advaita Acharya. He's the greatest Vaishnava. He's not different from me. He's the Supreme Lord himself." He said, "You should know I eternally reside in Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit, and Ramai." That's Srivas Thakur's brother. But it's also said that wherever there is kirtan, wherever Nityananda performs kirtan there and whenever, in Murugupta's house in Panihati, wherever they're serving prasad or wherever they're doing kirtan there, then Mahaprabhu will always also be there. A very, 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 very close associate with Lord Chaitanya. There are lots of stories, I can't remember them now. Anyone remember some? Oh, yeah. It's after one time he was with Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was glorifying and speaking about Krishna and was expressing his love for Murari. that's right. When he went to Srivas' house one time, or Suklambra, then Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were sitting there. and he paid his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya and then paid his obeisances to Nityananda. So Mahaprabhu said, Murari, "We're all looking towards you as the Acharya. You're a very senior devotee. Why are you doing it? Why are you not following the proper protocol? Don't you know you should pay obeisances to Lord Nityananda first?" So then he was a bit bewildered, you know, that everyone was worshipping Mahaprabhu, even Nityananda was worshipping Mahaprabhu. So he said, "Anyway, go home now, and tonight everything will be revealed. So then in the dream that night, then he saw Gauranga walking along. Then behind him he saw this another person, huge, just like a wrestler, with a plow in his hand. It was Balaram, but it was Nityananda. He saw Nityananda, and it was as not different from Balaram, so he could understand that Lord Balaram is actually the greatest servant of Krishna. So then Balaram turned, and it was Nityananda, and he smiled at him. Then Lord Gauranga turned around and smiled at him. So then the next morning he came back, and first he paid his obeisances to Nityananda, and then to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya smiled, "Yes, now you've understood." He said, I'm revealing these things to you because you're very dear to me, and because you're leading, the other devotees will also follow you. You're such a great devotee. He said, I give myself to you. I sold myself to you. I think maybe that time he wanted to commit suicide, and Mahaprabhu took Mara's hand and put it on his head. He said, "You want to break my head?" He said, you can eat my head." He said, "You'll break my head." He said, "Whatever you want." He said, I'm yours. I've given myself to you. I sold myself to you." This is the exchange. Krishna says, "As you surrender, I reward you. I reciprocate accordingly." So those devotees, they've actually given their whole being to Krishna, Gauranga. Then he does the same. He reciprocates exactly the same. He actually gives himself to his pure devotees. It's not a, you know, it's not a, he's waiting for that all the time. His love for his devotees is so great. He just wants to experience that, the full love, you know, because if we're not giving full, then he's missing something. But he wants the full, he wants a full experience. And these are the kind of devotees that he's getting it from, the ones he keeps very, very close to him. There's a description in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita when Gop Kumar meets Krishna. Krishna sees him, he runs. Krishna runs from the boys and the cows and embraces him. And they're crying, they're feeling so much ecstasy, and he just faint away. Gop Kumar comes to consciousness. Krishna's still laying unconscious. They can't wake Krishna's more unconscious. Yes, they can't wake. They can't get Krishna up. Everyone's distressed. Everyone's lamenting. You know, the boys come up. What's going on? Krishna's laying there unconscious. Then the cows hear about it, and they're all sad. And the birds hear about it, all shrieking. And then everyone from the village comes. They're hearing. They know something inauspicious has happened. Balaram shocked. But then he immediately understands because he's. So then he gets Gop Kumar to rub his hands. He rubs Gop Kumar's hands all over Krishna like that. And gradually Krishna comes back to external consciousness. And sees Gop on his. So it's not a. Exaggeration that Krishna actually has more loves his devotees more than they actually love him. This is the actual reality. He experiences it. Great pleasure. So. So he said, you have put it. So when Mari got to one home, he was so happy. And then he told his wife, bring my prasadam. So she brought out the rice, and he started picking up the rice. He called out, "Gaurav, come and eat. And he throwing it on the floor like this. And taking ghee and mixing it with the rice and just throwing it. And his wife came in and thought, she didn't think he lost it, because she knew he was a very exalted devotee. And then she thought, wow. Yeah, and then she was calling out, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna," just to remind him to be careful that he didn't make any offense. Like this, he kept bringing more rice, and he kept mixing it with ghee and throwing it on the floor. The next morning, Lord Chaitanya came and said, "Mari, doctor, I have a problem. I've got indigestion." He said, "Oh, what have you eaten last night?" He said, "What have you eaten yesterday?" He said, "Why are you asking me that?" He said, "You're calling me, give me all that rice." He said, "Now I've got indigestion, so you better cure me." He said, "Either I've eaten I've eaten that rice from you. You either think like that, I've got indigestion, or I've eaten too much. Whatever it is, you should cure me. But anyway, I've heard that to cure indigestion, you should drink plenty of water. So then he took Mario's glass, which he'd been drinking from, and he drank the whole thing straight down. And then he became very blissful and very happy, and of course Mario fainted, the wife fainted. Then they began to worship him afterwards. It's a wonderful dealings that the Lord has with his eternal associates, which is all waiting for us at the end of this life. If we so desire, we can join those pastimes. We can join both if you're very fortunate. So that is our birthright. It's what Krishna wants. It's what Guru wants. It's what we want. We just have to really want it and apply that, apply all we've heard and make it become a reality. Jai Sri Mara Gupta Prabhu Ki Jai, Gaur Hari Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Dai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol.